Good evening, hope everyone is well, hope everyone is safe. I'd like to discuss this evening some halachas that come up really every year on the days leading up to Pesach and Pesach night. But this year, because we are dealing with a situation where we're not going to be in shul, there are some things that happen that we often take for granted, because when you're in shul, you follow what the shul does, you follow what the gabbai tells you, and there are some things that we should be aware of and we should know of as we proceed and get closer to the Yom Tov of Pesach. So let's discuss some shilas that lead us up to Pesach and then Pesach itself. So if you're looking on the screen, you'll see the sources. They're available in your email as well, but we'll look together on the sources. Source number one. So let's discuss first this Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Shabbos Shalafnei HaPesach, the Shabbos preceding Pesach, Koyri Nois is Shabbos HaGadol. It's known, it's called by as the Big Shabbos. Why? V'mehaneis Shenaseba. Because of the major miracle that took place on this Shabbos, as we all know, we'll see the Mishnah details it for us at length, that 4 days before Yetzias Mitzrayim, that takes us back to Yud Nisan, the Jewish people had a commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take the sheep, tie it to the bedpost, and leave it there. And the Mitzrayim wanted very much to fight back the Jews because this animal was the Mitzrayim's god. And nonetheless, they didn't, and therefore it's a big miracle. That's why it's called the Shabbos HaGadol. We know in the Rishonim, there are other reasons why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. Unfortunately, this year we will not be able to live up to its title. It's called Shabbos HaGadol because everyone used to come together in shul to hear the rabbi's drasha. It was called Shabbos HaGadol because it used to be a very long Shabbos because the rabbi would speak for long. It was either called Shabbos HaGadol because the rabbi used to give a drasha and he's referred to as Gadol. But sadly this year, none of those titles will be befitting for the Shabbos. But nonetheless, it is still called Shabbos HaGadol. The Beis David points out that what is the halachic significance of it being called Shabbos HaGadol? The Shulchan Aruch doesn't just tell us names. He tells us halachic significance. So therefore he writes that we're supposed to greet each other and say, a guten Shabbos HaGadol. Which sadly enough is not the case this week because we don't really have that much to interact with each other. But at least we should remember that the Shabbos before Pesach is called the Shabbos HaGadol. Then this is what's negated to us. Writes the Ramah, V'haminig loymar b'mincha HaGadol mitchilas avodim ayinu. And the custom is to recite the Haggadah starting from Avodah Meyinu, Ad L'chaper Al Kol Avaniseinu, until we get to the passage Al L'chaper Al Kol Avaniseinu, U'poiskim Loima Borchi Nafshi. And we also stop saying Borchi Nafshi. Now the first part of the Ramah most of us are familiar with, because many of us in our homes have this minhag that we recite a partial recitation of the Haggadah on Shabbos HaGadol. But what's the end of this? U'poiskin loyimar Baruch Hinafshi, and we stop saying Baruch Hinafshi. So we'll see in a few minutes what the Ramah means by this. If we take a quick peek in source number 2 in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah basically cut and pasted from the Torah, where the Torah describes why is it called Shabbos HaGadol, writes the Torah, Shebishana Shiyatzim in Mitzrayim, source number 2 on the right side. The year the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, Hoya Asar ben Nisan, B'yayim Shabbos. That year it just fell out in the calendar that the 10th of Nisan happened to have been Shabbos. V'loku kolechem Yisrael sel l'pischayin. Each Jew took a sheep for his carbon Pesach. V'koshu b'karei amita. And they tied it to the bedpost. K'moy shekasa b'esel l'chayit chazev yikulchem ish sel l'beis avois. V'hamitzrayim ra'u zed. The Mitzrayim saw this v'shal and they asked, Lama zel l'chem, what are you doing? V'yishivin, the Jewish people responded, L'shchatu l'shem Pesach b'mitzvah Hashem. We're doing this for the sake of Hashem. It's a mitzvah. The hoyu shineim kehos, and their teeth were breaking. Also shechtim es Eloheim, because we were shechting their God. For the hoyu rashayin loyim al hamdava, and they had no ability to do anything. And since that year, that 10th day was Shabbos, al ken kavu likrei Shabbos, and therefore it's been established to call the Shabbos before Pesach always at Shabbos HaGadol. We've spoken about this in the past, and you can listen online on YUTorah to other shiurim about this, that we discussed the kasha from the Taz. The Taz asks, if the significance is the fact that it was Yud Nisan, so why is it Shabbos HaGadol? It should be Yud Nisan HaGadol. We should commemorate and celebrate Yud Nisan, not Shabbos HaGadol. I spoke about this at length last year and the year before, listening in the archives and YU Torah to the various answers that we gave. I want to focus tonight on a different angle. If you look at number 3 in the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon writes, Anupshat. He says, do you know why there's a minute to say the Haggadah writes the Vilna Gaon? You know what the Pshat is? He writes number 3. Shemeoz Hischel HaGaula Aydei Likichase. Says the Vilna Gaon because the Geula began on Yud Nisan. We think Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Geula, and that first happened in Lel Pesach. Says the Vilna Gaon, no, the Geula started really on Yud Nisan, and he writes he doesn't explain why. Why did the Geula start on Yud Nisan? We'll see in a second. But he ends up writing, Avahu Davar She'enoi. He says, although that perhaps would be the logic behind this minhag, but I think this minhag is wrong. Why? Because it's Mefurish B'Michilta that says, and we say it in the Haggadah, Shemeya Ani Mirish Chodesh, I would think you're supposed to start telling CBTS Mitzrayim from Mirish Chodesh, Tamad Loim, Bayemahu. That's why it says Bayemahu on that day. Ibayemahu Yachim Bayem, I would think already from the daytime, Tamad Loim, Bavurzeh, Bishoshi Ash Matzah Umar Murach Mufanech. Says the Vilna Goin, you see from the Michilta that the Chi of CBTS Mitzrayim only starts Lel Pesach, not before. So the Vilna Goin rejects this entire notion of the mitzvah of Haggadah, or the din of saying Haggadah on Erev Pesach, but he gives an interesting interpretation. He says he thinks the reason why there would be such a minhag, perhaps not like the Torah because of the nes that happened, but because this is considered Haschalta de Geula. This was the beginning of the Geula. And the Mishneh Berurah in his Be'er Halacha quotes this Vilna Gaon kemat word for word, that the Vilna Gaon held not to say the Haggadah. So those people that are big gronics, they taka don't say the Haggadah. Now the truth is, we spoke about this in previous years as well, if you look in the Rishonim already bring down this minhag of reciting the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah, and many Rishonim explain the source is because Leil Pesach, and Billy Neda will talk about this more tomorrow night in our Haggadah Shir, that Leil Pesach is really supposed to be the parents educating the children. But back in the times of the Rishonim, the kids weren't lucky enough to go to yeshiva, and they didn't really know much. So the whole night the parents keep on bugging them, ask questions. The kids say, I don't know anything. So the kids used to get like a head start. They would read the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah to give them like a head start, so they should be familiar with what's going to take place at the Seder. But let's go back to the Ramah for a second. The Ramah writes that this was, Yud Nisan was the beginning of the Geula. Why was Yud Nisan the beginning of the Geula? So if you look over here, number 4, in the left corner, there's a Taisvis and Masechah Shabbos. Daf Pezayin. Taisus writes, he quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, "Kishelokhu pischeim ba'oseh Shabbos, when Klal Yisrael took their animals, their sheep, on Shabbos, niskabtzu b'chayres umas ha'olam. The firstborn goyim came, Eitzel Yisrael, they came to the Jews, v'shalom, they asked them, Loma ya'oseh kain, what are you guys doing? So Amru lehem, so the Jews told them back, Zevach Pesach Lashem, this is the Karban Pesach Lashem, she'arik b'chayim Mitzrayim, because they're going to end up killing you guys in a few nights. So holchu eitz l'avisayim. So they all ran to their fathers. V'yal pare levakish mimenu shishalchu Yisrael. So the firstborn Mitzrayim got inside information that in a few nights from now they're all going to be killed. So they were all obviously very nervous. So they ran to their parents and they told their parents, "You got to do something. We got to deal with this." So they ran to Pare, and they went to deal with it. But v'loy ratzu. But Pare didn't want to do anything about it. V'asu b'chayres milchama. So the b'chayres led a revolution. They led a war. V'hargu mehen argu. And they killed them, harbe. And that's what it means in the past. That's what we say in davening, lemaki mitzrayim b'chareihem. They killed their own b'chareihem. So some people want to explain, that's pshat in the Vilna Gaon. This was the beginning of Makas B'chayrus. Makas B'chayrus was all the firstborn. But already dating back to Yud Nisan, was there already some b'chareihem already started to get killed. There's another pshat in number 5, in one of the footnotes in the Maaseh Rav from the Vilna Gaon, where he writes, v'oid shemati lefarsh de kavanas rabbeinu. What did the Ragra mean when the Gra said that Yud Nisan was the beginning of the Geula? So he says a beautiful idea. He says, Hainu Geula Sa'nefesh. He says that we know in when we left Mitzrayim, there were two things that happened. We physically were removed from slavery. That's called Shibud Haguf. Our bodies were freed. But there was also a spiritual cleansing. So he writes that Yud Nisan, that was the beginning. K'meshikasev Rabbeinu Bepirish Agoda, Mitchilo Avdi Avay Dezar, Shayu Beis in Yoni Gaul, there were two things. Geula Sa'nefesh v'Geula Sa'guf. And first we had to go through the Golos HaNefesh and the Golos HaGuf. Vim came. B'Shabbos HaGadol Shalokos Alili Mitzrayim LeKarban. When we took the Mitzrayim's God and we brought it and we tied it to our beds, HaYizeb Bital Avodah Zarah Shalom. This was our way of removing ourselves from the Avodah Zarah. And therefore we were ready to start the Geulas HaNefesh. So that's what the Vilna Gaon meant. Because when we left Mitzrayim, that was the Geulas HaGuf. So Leil Pesach was when our bodies left Mitzrayim. But when did we spiritually leave Mitzrayim? When did we detach from the spiritual Geulas? That was already Shabbos HaGadol. That's a beautiful pshat, and I had to understand the Vilna Gaon. Nonetheless, that's the Vilna Gaon's take on why Shabbos HaGadol is called Shabbos HaGadol. So just from an Ashkafic standpoint, we should keep in mind, according to the Vilna Gaon, starting this Shabbos, we're already in the Geula mode. We're all looking for Geula. We're all looking for the ultimate Geula. So according to the Vilna Gaon, the Geula already starts Shabbos HaGadol. Now, what did the Ramah mean when the Ramah said that we stop saying Baruch Hinafshi? So what's Barchi Nafshi? So if you look in number 6, it's a Ramah. I believe it's in Siman Reish Tzadi Beis, in Hilchas Mincha on Shabbos. This is in Hilchas Shabbos. The Ramah writes, V'nagu shaloi l'gvaya beit medrish be mincha l'mayruv. The Ramah writes a minute that it used to be that they didn't have formal learning between mincha and mayruv on Shabbos afternoon. Why? And the Taz explains, because that's when Moshe Rabbeinu died. So it's a time of avails, it's not a time for learning. But they used to learn Perkei Avos in the summer, v'shir hamalos b'chayrif, and they would learn shir hamalos in the winter, v'chomakam l'fi min hagoy. So if you look in the Levush in number 7, the Levush already records that they used to say Baruch Hinafshi, and he writes, L'mincha ba'oise Shabbos, the mincha on that Shabbos, meaning Shabbos Bereishis, noyegim l'haskaloyim ha'Baruch Hinafshi. We start saying Baruch Hinafshi. V'atam. What's the reason for saying Baruch Hinafshi? Shemaschil noyse b'Shabbos. Why do we start Baruch Hinafshi and Shabbos Parashas Bereishis? Mishum shekol oise ha'mizmor medaber b'inyam ma'aseh Bereishis. Because the whole Baruch Hinafshi discusses creation of the world. That's how we start in Shabbos Bereishis. The Kari Naisim Shom Veilach B'chol HaShabbos Mincha. We read it every single Shabbos by Mincha. K'day Liskor Inyan Ma'aseh Bereishis. To remember the idea of creation. Bafuki Yom HaShabbos. When we end Shabbos, why? Shuhu Zeichel Ma'aseh Bereishis. Because Shabbos is a commemorate Ma'aseh Bereishis. We're saying in the davening. Then he writes, V'nirili Shekoirin HaTezvav Shir. We also say Tehillim Shir HaMalois at Shabbos HaGodol. We go till Shabbos HaGodol. She'oz noigim loimar v'mincha HaGodol me'avodam ayinu adachar b'kol ha'veseinu. Then we switch gears. We stop saying Baruch Hinafshi. We start saying the HaGodol. K'dei liskor gam Yitzias Mitzrayim yem Shabbos HaGodol. Because we want to mention as well as Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it sounds like from the Ramah, that's a trade-off. That we say Baruch Hinafshi, and when we stop saying Baruch Hinafshi, we switch over to the HaGodol. What's interesting is that the Vilna Gaon number 8 writes, "Ubi Moisa Chayif in the winter ain't Oymen Baruch Hinafshi." This is why many shuls, many communities don't say Baruch Hinafshi. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon didn't say Baruch Hinafshi, and it's funny because the Vilna Gaon also didn't say the Haggadah. But nonetheless, the way the Ramah writes it is that we're supposed to kind of switch over, and that's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes. He writes, "B'Shabbos Haggadah L'Mincha number 9, Noyagim Shein Oymen Baruch Hinafshi." We stop saying Baruch Hinafshi. El Avadim Yinu. We switch over. It sounds like till now you're saying Baruch Hinafshi, now you switch over to Avodah Mayinu. Sounds like the Vilna Gaon, because this was the beginning of the Geula. Okay, I think the Yekish Shuls still say Baruch Hinafshi, but many of the regular Litvish Shuls do not say Baruch Hinafshi, even though it seemed to have been recorded by the Levush, and perhaps seems to be like that in the Ramah as well. So that's Shabbos HaGadol. Whether or not you say the Haggadah, you don't say the Haggadah, it's up for debate. But either way, Baruch Hinafshi comes to a conclusion at this time of the year. Number 10 is a halacha for Matzah Shabbos. I think many people are familiar with this, but I put it on just so we should all remember. The Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, Ubizman shein oimim vihinoyam, when you don't say vihinoyam, kigoin shechal yomtev bishvua, whenever yomtev falls out of the middle of a week, ein oimim say the Kedusha. We also don't say viyata Kaddish. Aval oimim viyitincha, but we do say viyitincha. This is what we know today as vihinoyam. So this Matzah Shabbos, those of us that will be davening at home, we should remember that at the conclusion of your Shemoneh Esrei, we do not say Vihinoyam, you skip straight to Aleinu. However, you do still say V'yitin L'cha for those who say V'yitin L'cha. Why? Explains the Mishnah Berurah in Source 11. It's a small print. He writes, why don't we say Vihinoyam whenever Yom Tov falls out during the week? So he explains, the Vihinoyam Shaykh L'Melechas HaMishkan. Vihinoyam is connected to the Melechas HaMishkan. Because the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to the Jewish people when they completed the Mishkan was that Hashem should rest, Hashem's presence should dwell. And that's how they got Ashrus Hashchina. And that's why it's connected to Avat Hakadosh Yishev Tehillah Yisrael. And therefore, whenever we don't say V'inoyam, we don't say the Kedusha. So you have to have a full week of work. Says the Mishnah Berurah, so why do we say V'yitin L'cha? We say V'yitin L'cha because V'yitin L'cha is merely just Psukim of Bracha, and therefore it's the beginning of the week, and therefore we do say V'yitin L'cha. There's an interesting Shaila, we spoke about this at the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha last year, and we spoke about this at the Sunday morning Shir last year, about last year. Last year, if you remember, last year Pesach fell out on Friday night. So Erev Pesach was Friday. So the shaila was, do you say V'inoyam the previous Matzah Shabbos? So on one end, you'd say, yeah, why not? You have a full week. Yom Tov doesn't start till Friday night. But on the other hand, we learned that on Erev Pesach, there's an Isser Malacha after Chatzos. Right? And just make everyone aware of that, that on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, you're not supposed to take haircuts, and you're not supposed to shave. You're supposed to get that all done before Chatzos. So if there's really an Issur Malacha, so maybe you shouldn't say Vihinayim the week before. So we mentioned that's the Machloikis Achrayim. But this year, everyone agrees there will be no Vihinayim this Matzei Shabbos. Let's talk about one other change in the davening, number 12. This is Sunday morning. This is Erev Pesach in the morning, number 12, Zaz Tez Ramah. Ve'ein Oymer Mizmul L'Soida. We do not say Mizmul L'Soida in Erev Pesach. Ve'ein Oymerim... We don't say Keler Chapaim. First of all, this year, it's Wednesday, there's no laning, and we're not laning anyways. Ulam Natseach Be'erev Pesach. We also don't say Lam Natseach Mizmol David, Veloy Be'erev Pesach, Veloy Be'yomtev. Okay, so this year, Wednesday morning, Shachris will be a little bit shorter. We're already not saying Tachanun because the whole Chodesh, we don't say Tachanun. And on top of that, there is no Mizmol Asoida, nor is there Lam Natseach. Why is there no Mizmol Asoida? Explains in Mishnah Berurah number 13. Because Shach Lachmei Toida Hayu Chametz. Because the bread that went along with the carbon Toida was made of Chametz. Vafilu Be'erev Pesach, also Lakrivoi, they didn't bring an Erev Pesach. Sheyavu Lidei Noiser, because it would come to Noiser, which is why we don't say it. The Mishnah Berurah brings down another interesting idea. He writes, "Umashkimin lebeis haknesses." Erev Pesach is one of those days you're supposed to daven a little early. So being that you make your own schedule, so if we can all try to get up a little bit earlier on Erev Pesach, that would be a good idea. There's an inyan to wake up a little earlier, so this way you can get breakfast done before Seiv's Manachila. So this week, Wednesday, we all make our own schedules these days, so let's schedule Shachris for a little bit of an earlier start time. I wrote it on the next page, but the Aruch HaShulchan points out that we also will not be saying in the Karbonos. For those of us who say Karbonos, in the Karbonos on Erev Pesach, you would also leave out the Hirotzim part. Any day, like you would leave out that part of the Hirotzim because we don't bring the carbon toid. Okay, now let's go back a step and talk about Leil Bedikas Chametz. Leil Bedikas Chametz is very important because we're not going to be in shul, there are some interesting halachas that we should be aware of. First of all, Shulchan Aruch writes in number 14, Betchilas Leil Yudaler, the beginning of the night of the 14th, i.e. Tuesday night, we should check for chametz with the light of the candle, bechun uvistakin, the cracks and the crevices, becholam ekoyim eshedarech lahachnish am chametz, in any place where chametz may come in. So this is the source of bedikas chametz. Now, when it says over here, l'araner, so we already know already, we spoke about this many times, that the contemporary poskim say today two things. First of all, they say there really is no reason to turn the light off in your house because we have the invention of overhead lights, they definitely help you look for things that are lost or missing. So therefore, there's no reason to turn the lights off. It only makes sense to turn the lights off if you're using a candle and you have no natural overhead light. So you don't really have to turn the lights off. And other achrayim also add that today would be much safer and perhaps more conducive to use a flashlight or to use your phone like we all use today. But many of the Paiskim still suggest, Al Minag Avisenu, to make the brach over a candle, do a little bit with the candle, and then blow it out and use an electric light or even use the overhead light, but really make redin, there is no reason to have to turn off the candles. To turn off the light, I know it makes it like spooky for the kids, but strictly speaking, halachically, it is not required. Now, what does it mean in the Shulchan Aruch when it says, betchilas leil yudal? When is the appropriate time to do bedikas chametz? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us in number 15, it's right after tzeisik kechavim. So again, when should you do bedikas chametz on Tuesday night? The answer is tzeisik kechavim. The question is, when is tzeisik kechavim? So it depends what you follow for tzeisik kechavim. Bedikas chametz is a din derabanan. So you don't have to follow 72 minutes. You don't even have to follow 60 minutes. You should follow, perhaps, depending how you calculate tzeis kechavim. If you calculate tzeis kechavim for derabanan, it's somewhere between 40 and 45 minutes. You want to be machmir like Rav Moshe to be yoytze derayis, so you can use 50 minutes after shkia, or you want to use maizmanim and use degrees, which is what I use. That should also suffice. But again, it shouldn't be at shkia, but rather it should be at tzeis kechavim. But this is what's even more important, because we're all home. Let's get into the next halacha. Halacha beis says the Shulchan Aruch. We're reading number 14. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Yizoyah, be careful. Yizoyah called him, everyone should be careful. Shalayaschul shum malacha. Don't start any jobs. Don't start kashering the kitchen, velo yochel, or eating supper, ad sheyivdek, until you do bedika. Now again, you can't do bedika till tzeisik kechavim. And you're not allowed to eat until you do bedikas chametz. So this is very important, what time to eat supper Tuesday night. Says the Shulchan Aruch, v'afilu m'yesh le'ez kavu l'ilmad. Even let's say you have a chavrusa that you don't miss, and you guys have been learning via Skype and via Zoom all of these time. Don't learn until you do the bedika. What happens if you started learning at 5 o'clock at night and then you go learning straight till tzeisik kechavim? So then the Shulchan Aruch paskins ein tzarich lahaps. You don't have to stop. As long as you started when you had permission to start, you started in the daytime, you don't have to stop. But v'yeshayimim, no, shetzarich lahapsik. You do have to stop. And that is the Iker opinion that you do have to stop. So this is going to be very, very relevant for people that want to have supper on Tuesday nights. They have to be careful when to schedule the supper. You can't schedule the supper too late, because if you're going to schedule, if you're going to eat a late supper, you're going to run into a problem of eating before you do the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah number 16. Says the Mishnah Berurah, when can't I start eating? Says the Mishnah Berurah number 16. Va'afilu chatzi shoshe kaidem azman aser. Not only am I not allowed to start eating at Tzeis Kechavim, even a half an hour before Tzeis Kechavim, I'm not allowed to start. Dilma osi lam shuche. We're afraid you may get caught up. V'adin da osa lichnois lamerchatz. And now I go to a bathhouse. U'bechol hadvar man iskarm l'elbasim reisham beiz. Okay. All those things. So, you have to keep in mind, it's not only at Tzeis Kechavim am I not allowed to start supper, but I'm not even allowed to start supper a half an hour before. Now, what am I not allowed to eat? So, Mishnah Berurah writes, Sivkot and Vav, you're not allowed to eat, V'tima ba'al mashari. But ti'ima, which is tasting, not formal eating, that's permissible, which is, V'hainu pas kebeya. That means if you want to eat a kebeya's worth of bread, a kebeya is double a kezayis, Veloyosa, but not more than that. Meaning you can't have a whole bagel. You could probably have about a half a bagel. Or your veloyosa, or paris, a filo harbe. You want to have fruit, you want to have candy, that's fine. That would all be okay. Let's say, for example, you want to have cookies, you want to drink, that's all fine. But if you want to have a real supper, a real good sit-down supper with bread or heavy-duty food, that would be a problem. Then the Mishnah Berurah concludes, he says, look in the Be'er Halacha where he says, even a lot of fruits is also not mutter only more than a half an hour before. But once it already hits Tzeis Kechavim, it's really not right to eat anything. So you got to keep an eye on your clock. Make sure you schedule your supper Tuesday night. Start supper more than a half an hour before Tzeis Kechavim. So you got to figure out when Tzeis Kechavim is. So let's say, for example, you want to use 50 minutes of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which I don't think you need to. But let's say, for example, you'll find out what time is Shkia Tuesday night. You'll add 50 minutes to that. I would add more like 45 minutes and then make supper before that. So the best thing Tuesday night is call supper for like 5:30, 6 o'clock. This way, you're clear and you have no problem and you won't run into any halachic issues. The Aruch HaShulchan lays it out for us as well. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, you're not allowed to eat a meal until you do bedika. Aval te'imas peris, but if you want to taste fruits, or you kebeya pas, you want to eat a kebeya pas mutter. V'zeu pashem v'archal mezaynus. This also includes mezaynus. Avalita yodu v'lorach pashem v'archal v'maitz. If you want to actually have bread, afilu kezayis also. You can't even have a kezayis, which is half of that amount. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, you cannot consume much bread. So if you're going to be eating bread Tuesday night, you better make sure you start that meal more than a half an hour before Tzeis Kechavim. So he writes, Avo peres v'shara machal. Let's say you want to have fruits, or you want to have other fruits, that's okay. Yochel lechol yoyse, then you can have as much as you want. That does not present a problem. Now, what happens if I appoint a shomer? Let's say, for example, I want to start a task, and I want to appoint a shomer to remind me to do it. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in number 18, Yesh mi shomer, that the Shulchan Aruch had two shitas about whether or not you have to stop if you started before. So he writes, tell your wife, or someone else, he says, as long as you tell someone else to tell you to do it, to remind you, a shomer, that's okay. Because there are those who say, even without this, a shomer works. Therefore, he says, if I started before this man, I started when it was okay, and I appointed a shomer, then you're good to go. Then you definitely don't have to stop. So let's say, for example, I want to start a very long task, and it's going to take me 2-3 hours, and I started it more than a half an hour before it says, but it's going to continue in. So then the best thing would be is to appoint a shomer, have my wife, have a friend remind me that I haven't yet done Bedikas Chametz, and this way I'd be able to continue until I get to doing Bedikas Chametz. Just as a reminder that you should be bedik your cars as well. You don't make a bracha on the Bedikas Chametz on the car, but the bracha on the Bedikas Chametz of your house should go on your car as well. We do check our cars. For more discussion about Bedikas Chametz, please go to Y.U. Torah, check last year's Shiurim. We discussed at length the rules and regulations of Bedikas Chametz. Now, this year we have a very, very interesting Shiloh. Besides for the question of when to schedule supper, this year we have a question of when to daven Ma'ariv. So normally this is never a shayla because we either have Mincha Ma'ariv back-to-back before Tzeis HaKechavim, or we daven Ma'ariv later. We have a Minyan Kavua later. But we have no Minyanim Kavua this year. We don't have any of that. So how exactly should we daven Ma'ariv? I just want to take a moment to make an observation that I realized last Friday night, and I want to spread it to the world. We all know, and we spoke about this in many, many different times, that there's something called Tarta de Sasri. Tarta de Sasri means, if you're going to daven Mincha before the Shkia, right? You daven Mincha before the Shkia, and you daven Ma'ariv before the Shkia, that's a Tarta de Sasri. Why? Because that means I'm davening Mincha and Ma'ariv both during what's called Plaga Mincha. This is the whole debate that exists. If you make early Shabbos to 7 o'clock Mincha Ma'ariv, that exists Friday night in many communities, and that's why it's a question. But I was just looking at the clock this past Friday night. It could be a problem this Friday night as well. Because let's say, for example, you daven Mincha at the time that the shul posts for Mincha, and then you daven straight Mincha Kabbal Shabbos Ma'ariv. If you daven at a pretty quick speed, it's very likely that you're going to daven Mincha Ma'ariv back to back, and it's going to be before the Shkia. And I personally don't think there's ever a heter to daven Tarta de Sasri, but I don't see any good heter if you're not Petzibor. One of the heterim that people throw around is because if we don't do it, we'll never get the people to come back. There's no people. You're in your home. So I urge everyone to keep an eye on their clocks this Friday night to make sure that you're not davening Ma'ariv before Shkia. So again, if you're going to have a very long Kabbalah Shabbos and you're going to sing Lecha Doidi with your whole family, so it won't be an issue because chances are by the time you get to Ma'ariv, it's already going to be after the Shkia. But if you daven a pretty quick Kabbalah Shabbos, you should be careful because if you look at the clock, it's very likely it's going to be before Shkia. And then you're davening Mincha and Ma'ariv both before the Shkia, and that's a problem of Tarta de Sasri. So please, I urge everyone to keep that in mind. Or the easiest way around it is daven Mincha earlier in the day because you're not bound by any minyanim, just daven Mincha after Mincha Gedoyla. And then you don't run into Tarta de Sasri problems. But for those of us that are keeping the zmanim of the shuls, when the shul posted those zmanim, that's because the shul was taking into consideration that you have a long Mincha with a long Chazar Seshas with a long Kabbalah Shabbos, and this way by the time you get to Ma'ariv it's way after the Shkia. But in our homes we don't have that, so if you're going to first start Mincha whatever time the shul calls Mincha and you daven by yourself, it's very likely that you're going to be doing Tarta de Sasri, to which in my opinion there's absolutely no heter to do in this situation. So please keep an eye on your clocks as we go forward this Shabbos. Now, so what do we do with Ma'ariv? What time should we daven Ma'ariv this Tuesday night? So if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, number 19, on page 2, Mishnah Berurah says the following. Look at number 19 on the right corner. The Mishnah Berurah writes the following. Ule'inyun tefilas Ma'ariv. And what about Ma'ariv? So he says like this. Oysen ha'mespalalin Ma'ariv bizmanoi betzibor. If you always daven betzibor bizmanoi, meaning after Tzeis HaKechavim, so then you spalu mikoidim, you should first daven Ma'ariv first. The toirech lekaptzan achakach. It's very hard to get people to come back afterwards. The gamin lachosh kokach sheyiftach lebdek. We're not so afraid that if you daven Ma'ariv first, they'll forget to do the bedika. Shari tefila he dover kavua. You always daven Ma'ariv. Vein shaych b'shem yimshach hamespal. We're not worried. Shem yimshach. We're not worried. You forget to daven. However, says the Mishnah Berurah of amespal bebeisoi. But what happens if you daven Ma'ariv at home? Then, yitin la'achalivdak. He writes, you should have someone else do the bedika for you. For who you spalling? You daven Ma'ariv. The idea is, hey, you kaim shnei bizmanam. This way you can kill two birds with one stone. You'll daven Ma'ariv at seis, and you'll have someone else do the bedika for you. Not very practical if we're all in the same boat. So he writes, v'ileka acher. If you have no one else, you spal otchila. Mishnah Berurah paskes that what should we all do? We should all wait till Tzeis HaKechavim. At Tzeis HaKechavim, we should all daven Ma'ariv. Then after Ma'ariv, we should do bedikas chametz. But he writes, let's say you're always daven Ma'ariv b'yichidus, then you should do b'dikas chametz first. Why? Since you're very used to davening Ma'ariv at home, we're not so afraid you may come to forget. So I guess you can ask the question, what are we considered today? Are we considered Rogel to daven b'yichidus? We've been davening b'yichidus quite a while already now. So can one make the argument that if we don't daven Ma'ariv right away, we'll still remember to daven Ma'ariv? I know some nights I often have to remind myself that I didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. You know, we forget it, but we don't think about it. It's not in our mind because we used to go to shul and we're used to doing it in shul. So you got to remind ourselves. So the Mishnah Berurah says it depends. If you're a frequent mispalel biyachid, so then you should do the bedikah first. If not, you should have a mayor first. Then he quotes from the Chayk Yankiv. The Chayk Yankiv writes that the oilam mispalel tchil, not always have a mayor first. Why? We have a principle that whatever comes first, whatever comes more frequent, comes first. And obviously, Ma'ariv is more frequent than Bedikas Chametz, and therefore Tadeh. So according to the Chayk Yankiv, we should all daven Ma'ariv first, because Tadeh v'sheina Tadeh Tadeh Kaidim. The Mishnah Berurah, I didn't photocopy it, but in the Sharet Tzion, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Mar Kedavid, you can do whichever way you want. Whichever way you want. However, the Aruch HaShulchan writes very clearly, he writes, Mishle Yispal Arvis Imatzibur, if someone is not davening Ma'ariv Leil Bedikah with a minion, Yeshayim, some people say, the Yivdoik, he should first do the Bedikah. V'achkach Yispal, then he should have a Ma'ariv. Imloy, if not, Sheragel Yispal Barsar Basic Nes, unless he has a minion Kavu and Shul, then Yispal Tchilo, then he should have first, and they should Tarech Lekab, it's hard to get people back. Umishim Yispal Oilam Arvis Bebase, if you're always davening Bechidis, then Yivdoik, first do the Bedikah, V'achkach Yispal, Avo Yeshayim, the Oilam Tfila Arvis Kedem, says, he quotes the Chayk Yankov, and he writes, V'chein Iker Ladina. The Aruch HaShulchan says, we pass like the Chayk Yankov, Ma'ariv always goes first. Why? Because he says, the lo'ilam lo'hoysa hatakon lived the kaidin tzvah service, because they never established that way. When Chazal instituted Bedikas Chometz, the way they established it was, first have a Ma'ariv, and then do Bedikas Chometz. So halach l'maisa, it would sound like to me, and I would urge us, and I do think there's a strong likelihood that we still might forget to have a Ma'ariv, Leil Bedikas Chometz, so it's probably more correct to wait till Tzezek Chavim, have a Ma'ariv, and then do Bedikas Chometz. Okay, I mentioned this earlier, number 21, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Ve'in Oimrim Mizmo L'Soyde Be'erev Pesach. We don't say Mizmo L'Soyde not only on Erev Pesach, but the whole Chol HaMoed also. U'b'chol Yimei HaPesach, L'fisha B'Toyde Bo Chometz, V'chein B'Mishnas HaToyde Be'ezohu, and for those of us who say Karbonus, and we say the Karbonus, Lo Yoyim HaKilu Krafti Toyde. You shouldn't say the words, Kilu HaKrafti Toyde Mitam Zeh. Okay, now let's move on to another issue. We all know that there's an accepted custom, we spoke about this in previous shurim, they're all on archived on YU Torah, about the Tainis Bechayrim and Erev Pesach. So we know, Shulchan Aruch brings it down, that there's supposed to be a fast day for the Bechayrim on on Erev Pesach. Now, we know that the accepted custom today has been that instead of fasting, what the Bechayrim end up doing is they go to a Siyam, and this Siyam patters them from the fast. The problem that arises this year for all of those Bechayrim, or for those parents, those fathers that have sons that are Bechayrim, as the halacha says, you got to figure out a way. How exactly are you going to get to a Siyam when we are all in our own homes? So I put over here, number source 22, this is psukim that are handwritten psukim from a Reb Herschel Schachter, where he wrote many different psukim about different inyanim relating to Corona and Pesach. So this is his letter that he wrote out, and he writes the following. Number 22, he says, Re'isi b'tshuvas Rav Henkin. He says, I saw in the writings of Rav Henkin, one of the great Gedolei HaPoskim of America, it was Nifter not so long ago, he lived in the Lower East Side. Rav Henkin writes, from the famous Ezra's Torah Rav Henkin writes in the Sefer Gurus Eliyahu, that the minhag ha-bechayim l'san is like kaim b'zmaninu. That we don't really have the minhag anymore to fast. Today already, no one really fasts, everyone just goes to Siyam. Now this never works for anything else. You never find it on Sar Batavis, we all go to Siyam, we don't have to fast. But says Rav Henkin, that's what everyone does already for Erev Pesach. V'ilu ha'yachiv l'sanois, says Rav Shechter, again, this is quoting Rav Henkin. And if it would be a real chiv, if Erev Pesach carried a real chiv tainus, going to Siyam would not exempt you. So this mitzvah. First of all, you don't even sit down and have a meal. You grab a cookie and a cup of orange juice. Therefore, he suggests, as do others, what's more correct is to give money to tzedak. That's Reb Henkin's psak. Okay, so says Reb Shechter, and it seems to me, and even when things are normal, many people travel on Pesach. V'hir b'motos, in a boat, in a plane, oy b'sada t'ufa, b'boiker, b'yidal nisan, v'kranogu l'shtativ derech ha-telefon b'siyum. He writes, and already the accepted custom is to be yoytze through a telephone. V'kocha yasu af b'shanazu. Therefore says Reb Shechter, that's what we should do this year, that's Reb Shechter's opinion, is that this year we can do it through telephone, via Skype, via Zoom. That is his opinion. If you look at number 23, the Sefer Kovetz Halacha is written by Reb Kleiman, a Rav in Brooklyn, a Talmud Muvik from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, quotes from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, where he writes, "The someone who can't attend the siyum, ain moyel ishtatev b'siyum aydei shmias telephone. It does not help to hear it over a telephone. Sheze ain a klum. This is worthless." Now, I don't think Zoom is any different. I think it's the same idea. If you're not there, you're not there. You know, you can't be yaitz Zoom with the tefillah b'tzibur. You can't be yaitz Zoom because you're not part of the tzibur. You're not there. So it seems like Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky would disagree with this psak from Rav Shechter. So, be it as that may, if you are a Bukhar, so what should you do? So, I did hear a shiur from Rabbi Heinemann in Baltimore, from the Agudah in Baltimore. He also paskin today, Bezman Azeh, you can use Zoom to be yaitz the time. So again, I guess you could be samech on these paiskin. But let's say, for example, you want to make your own siyum. What are some of your options? So let's take a look at number 24. The Ramon Yeredeya Simen Reish Memvav, that's Elchas Tama Torah. The Ramon writes, Kishe Misayimim Misechta, when you complete a Misechta, Mitzvah L'smayach V'lasi Suda. There's a mitzvah to rejoice, to make a party, the Nikris Sudas Mitzvah, and that's called the Sudas Mitzvah. So what does the Ramah mean when he says a Masechta? Does a Masechta mean a Masechta of Shas? Or does he mean even a Masechta of Mishnayis? I think we all can figure out a way to finish a Masechta of Mishnayis before Erev Pesach. So is that a viable option? If I would be a Bechor, which I'm not, or if my oldest child would be a Bechor, which is a Bechira, a girl, so I don't have to worry. But for many of you listening, if that is your situation, so it's not hard. Can you go home and learn Masechtas Mishnayis? The many Masechtas in Ma'id are 4 Prakim, Rosh Hashanah, Tainis, Megillah, Chagigah 3 Prakim. So Ma'id Katan's 3 Prakim. So is that suffice to make?
What's the reason that we have a siyum?
Good. So that's what we're going to have to figure out. We're going to see that it might be totally...
If it's simple for the guy who's completing it, so if I hear him on Zoom, I'm very happy for him. So I'm a sameach. So I'm taking part in his simcha. If it's a din in that I have to eat a suda, then I'm not, can't partake with him.
Right, so that's a good point.
Thank you. With them, so it could be over Zoom. It could be over...
So that reminds me. Thank you. Right, so that does remind me of when I quoted earlier from Rav Heinemann. Rav Heinemann does make this addition. He said if you're going to hear it over Zoom, you have to eat something special at home to be mishtatef in the simcha. So Rav Heinemann said that if, let's say for example, I'm going to hear Zoom, I can't just go eat regular breakfast. I have to eat something special to show that I'm being mishtatef in the simcha that took place, which is a big shail in the poskim. Let's say for example, I go to a siyum and I hear it, and I don't eat anything at the siyum. I go home and eat breakfast at home. Is that good enough? That's a big discussion amongst the poskim. So that is a good point that I'm just going to repeat what Rav Heinemann said. He said if you're going to do Zoom, it would be correct to at least eat something special at home to be considered mishtatef b'simcha. But the million-dollar question is, what's the svara of siyum? What exactly, why exactly does a siyum exempt one from fasting? So I found over here a beautiful, beautiful shtickle from the Binyan Shleimer, Rav Shleimer from Vilna. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece. It's his last shtickle in Aruch Chaim, Simen Nuntes. It's such a gevaldika piece. He's commenting on the last Ramah in Aruch Chaim. The last Ramah in Aruch Chaim concludes that he quotes the pasuk of Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomit. He's referring to Adar Aleph. He says, well, you know, there's a leap year, so then on Adar Aleph, on the first Purim Katan, he quotes this pasuk. They should always be happy. So everyone tries to figure out, what is the Ramah talking about? So says the Binyan Shleimer, this is the godless of Reb Shleimer from Vilna. He writes this, number 25. He says, like a shtickle joke. He says he thinks the Ramah was alluding to a Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, the chol yimei oni ro'im, all the days of an oni are bad, ze bal Gemara. This refers to someone who learns Gemara. But v'toiv leiv mishta tamid, ze bal Mishnah. But who has a good life? Someone who learns Mishnayis. Why does someone who learns Mishnayis have a good life? So he says beautifully. He says, "V'yeshlam akavana b'zeh." The Baal Gemara, afim rotzal asis Mishnah siyum tzarach lahatim zman rav. Even if you want to make a siyum on a Masechta Gemara, he says it's very hard. V'nimsa dechol yimei ani roim sheinu achal asis Mishnah kiim leitim rechaykes. How often do you finish a Masechta? A guy who learns Gemara, it takes him forever to make a siyum. So his whole life is depressed. He never gets to have any parties. A Mishnayis learner, a guy who learns Mishnayis, he can make a party every day. Why? He says, you can finish a Masechtas Mishnayis every single day. The Toiv Lev Mishnah Tam, it's about Mishnah. Beautiful, says Reb Shlomo Vilna. Do you know why a Mishnayis learner is so happy? Because he's making parties every single day. He comes home every day, oh, I told his wife, I finished, you know, the first perek Mishnayis in Rosh Hashanah. Great, let's make a party. All day long he's making parties. So therefore, says the Binyan Shlomo, that's Pshan and the Ramah. Ulozen Nosan La Ramah, Eitz of the Odom Shiyari Shemaim, Veneroitza Lahanas Mesudis Rishos, says the Ramah. If you want to be very firm, you don't like to have non-religious parties. You don't want there to be stama a party for Rishos. You want every party that you partake in to be a mitzvah. So he says, Givaldik, learn Mishnayis. So on Purim Katan, learn a Masechta Mishnayis, and you can make a seam. So what do you see from Reb Shlomo Vilna? That Reb Shlomo Vilna seems to be of the opinion that if you learn a Masechta Mishnayis, you can make a seam. Now again, he's not referring to where seam is a chiyuv. He's referring to more, you know, hashkafeli. But many people bring a raya from this Reb Shlomo Vilna, that Reb Shlomo Vilna was of the opinion that you can make a seam, a real legitimate seam, on a Masechta Mishnayis. So that's very, very negev is manazeh. Today, this year, where many people are not going to be able to finish a whole Masechta, so finish a Masechta's Mishnayis, you can definitely cover. There's a shul in my community here in Queens that sent out an email to them, Espalim, that anyone that needs to make a Masechta should learn a Masechta Mishnayis, and he suggested learning with the Tesis Yom Tov's commentary. We'll see why, but that is an option. If you don't want to accept the psak of many of the Rabbanim at Zoom and telephone, so the simplest, again, if you finish, if you're doing Daf Yomi, and you finish Brachas, and you never yet made a Siyam, okay, terrific. If you're ahead of the game, and you finish Shabbos already, okay, Gevaldik. But if you're not a regular Gemara learner, so then you're kind of limited, so at least the Masechtas Mishnayis is very manageable. If you look at number 26, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky writes, Umayiv Reb Shlita, this is Rabbi Kleinman quoting from Reb Shmuel, the maker didn't see a Mishnayis, have you seen a Masechta? Reb Shmuel holds, you can make a see him on a Masechta, Mishnayis. I will not go out see a Masechta, rock on Masechta and Gemara, but that's not the practice is on Gemara, or you'll Seder Shalom, unless you finish the whole Seder. But we don't make a siyum on a mesecht. Now, it could be Reb Shmuel would agree bisman hazeh. I didn't ask him that bisman hazeh, where the situation is very difficult. Maybe he would allow you to make the siyum on a mesecht, mishnayis. I don't know. But I definitely understand why there would be people that would say that today you'd be able to make a siyum on one mesecht, mishnayis. If you look in the Betzel HaChochma, the Betzel HaChochma was the brother of the Moshe Stern. He was a brother of the Debrecen Rav. He lived in Australia. So he writes, he was talking about a shiloh where there was a fellow that was traveling on Erev Pesach, and he was just like on the go. He didn't really exactly have the zitzflesh to make or to hear a siyum. And he wanted to know, can he learn Mishnayis, one Masechta Mishnayis? So the Debrecen Rav's brother responded to him, he wrote like this, La mevor, yoitza, ki benidin done in our case, sha'omad lulma kola Masechta Shemishnayis, Mishnayim, Mishloisha Yomim, you can knock off a Masechta in 2 or 3 days, mitzad shar tirdoisa v'tirdos nisiyasa, putting aside all the other busynesses and travel. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. He says, but if there's no other option, if you're not going to do this, you're going to end up having to fast and go into Erev Pesach, going to the Seder, fasting. The day is going to get longer because he's traveling from Eretz Yisrael to America. Then you don't have to fast. But it does not sound like to me that the Tzela Chochma permitted a Siyam on a Masechta. It sounds like perhaps you just don't have to fast. I did hear some Rabbanim suggesting that because of the medical situation, no one should fast. I don't know, not sure. I do think that the best would be to make a Siyam Mishnayis. I think all of us can probably learn one Masechta Mishnayis and even learn it well with the Tosfos Yom Tov, with Kahati, and that should sufficient, according to some, to be a Siyam. If you look at number 28, the Nitzik Avriel Paskins, Lechatchila, Yisayim Masechta Gemara V'loy Mishnayis. Lechatchila, you should do Gemara. Or you say the Sholem Mishish Sidi Mishnah, or at least one of the Siddurim. U'bishas Hatchak, which is definitely this year, Efshe Lismach Alsiyim Masechtas Mishnayis in Pirish HaRav. Okay, that was, again, why do you want to learn with the Rav? Because you want to make it real. You don't want it just to be a flyby where you mumble the words. You're supposed to really understand what you're learning. So therefore, Paskins the Nitzik Avriel, that Bezman Hazeh, this year, you would perhaps be allowed to get away with one Masechta Mishnayis. If you look in 25b, in the left corner, he quotes over there, it was an added addition, He quotes from the Av Bezdin from Kaminka, the Gam Acher Si Mishnayis Havisu this mitzvah Mutal Lechol Basar. He quotes that he was talking about during the 9 days. So it seems like the Marsham in his Sefer Das Torah was also open to the option that one Mesechta Mishnayis should work. So here's like a toss-up question. Is it better to hear a Siyam Mesechta on a Gemara via Zoom, or to learn one Mesechta Mishnayis at home? I would do both. Cover all your bases, yoitza all your sheetas. Okay, now here's an interesting shaila. It might be negated this year, might not be, but it's interesting. Let's say you are a father who needs to make a siyum. Fine, you're a bechor, and you didn't learn anything, but you happen to have a son in your house who's a big masmid, and he learns all the time, but he wants to make a siyum, but the problem is he's not bar mitzvah yet. Does a siyum of a katan count as a siyum? Now, the only reason why this might come up this year, because you might be at home with your cotton child, and your cotton child might have learned the Masechta. He might have been in yeshiva till Pesach, and he was in a good cheder, 6th, 7th grade, and the Rebbe learned most of the Masechta, and it's a few blot short. Or let's say, for example, you're learning with your son for his bar mitzvah, and you're a blot short from the Masechta, so you finished the last blot, or maybe because of Corona, and you and your son have been locked at home, you decide to learn a Masechta together, which I think would be a beautiful thing. And you guys are about to finish the Masechta. But you don't want to make the Siyam. He's going to make the Siyam, or whatever the case may be. You figure out the case. Does a Siyam al-Katan work? So this Shaila was actually brought to the Rogachava, the Tzofnos Paneach. If you look at number 20...
Why should it not work? Lachara, it should work, because if the Katan, he himself has to fast also, just his father's Yotzei, him, but technically the Chiyam's on him. So if he makes the Siyam, why shouldn't it work even for Gadol?
So that's a good Shaila in Lumnus. We spoke about this, I think, in the past. What's the Lumnus of the Katan's Chiyav that gets thrown on the father to fast? How does that work? But even putting that aside, the question is not that. The question just is, does the Siyam of a Katan have any validity? Maybe in a Hanami, the Katan does have to fast or he doesn't have to fast. But the question is, does the Siyam a Katan consider a Sudas Mitzvah? That's the crux of the Shaila.
So why can't he be Motzi and Gadol?
The question is, does his Siyam even account for him? Does the Siyam HaKotan mean anything? Now, why would a Siyam HaKotan not count? So if you look in the Rogachava, in his Shas and Tshuva Tzofnas Panech, number 29, all the way on the left side, he writes, Talmud Torah Shul Ketanim Im Choshev Zeh Mitzvah Etzlam. Is it Bechlach considered a Maisa Mitzvah? If a Kotan does something that he doesn't have to do, he's not Mitzvah in Talmud Torah yet, maybe he has Chinuch, but he doesn't have the Mitzvah, is that Bechlach considered a Maisa Mitzvah? So therefore, Im Misayim, Im Misechta, Im Tech Shavah Suda, so this Mitzvah. If he finishes a Masechta and he makes a Suda, is that considered a Suda's Mitzvah? Gamke lifter b'chayim lasanis, it's negate the patr of the b'char. That was a shaila to the Rogachav. So the Rogachav writes back, he says, it's tall in the shaila. He says, it's tall in the shaila, im ayide limo chaloma dizman shay katan, yelo yediya begadlos daibizeh. He says, first of all, it depends. If we consider Talmud Torah shal katan a Talmud Torah, that's shaila number one. So shaila number two, maybe you'll say that what the katan learned when he was a katan, he remembers when he becomes a gadol. The kid is now 12 and a half. He learned Maseches Megillah. Then when he turns 13, he remembers all that he learned. So the Rogachav is mesupik. He's not sure. So Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky takes issue with this psak. Number 30, he writes, V'oyma moi v'rebi shlita. Ta'akoponim ledina ein poshut kolkach. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky is not convinced at all that Maisa Shal Katan Choshev Maisa Mitzvah. He's not convinced the premise of the Rogachava that the Maisa Mitzvah of a Katan has the status of a Maisa Mitzvah. Shalchein Yeshu Stapik Im Siyah Shal Katan Choshev Siyam. Therefore, you have a question if the Siyam of a Katan even counts. For Hoysev, and he adds, he has a right from a Gemara, fine. But look at the next paragraph. He writes, V'ri'isi, and I found, in the Haggadah of the Beis Halevi. Sha'agriz Nishal, the Griz was asked a similar Shaila. The Griz was asked, what happens if a father has to fast mitzad his son? And his son makes the siyam. Meaning the whole chiyav atayin is in neveya, not because of the father. The father's not a bechor. His son's a bechor. And therefore we learned that when the son's a bechor, the father has to fast. And the son, who's the bechor, he wants to make a siyam. And the Briskerov answered, the kivin dem hani tanisa shokot nevad dem hani gam siyuma. He says, so since the tainis counts, so the siyam also counts. So Shmuel Kamenetsky says, fine, that doesn't give me a raya to a regular katan. That only gives me a raya if the katan would be the one making the siyam, was the one who needs to fast. But let's say my katan is not a firstborn. So he's not convinced halacha l'maisa it works. The Nitta Gavriel writes, halacha l'maisa 31, im katan misayim misechta, gam kei nechshev l'sudas mitzvah. He passes without a question that works, u'poitur af gedoylem hamashtatfin. However, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky is very much mesupik. So, I wouldn't suggest using your son for a siyam. Better probably learn Mishnayis yourself. But this is the most important thing. Number 33, you don't need a minion to make a siyam. If you yourself finish the Masechta Shas, or you yourself finish the Mishnayis, you don't need a minyan. Don't worry, make a siyum by yourself. I tell this to people all the time during the 9 days. People have this thing in their head that during the 9 days you can only make a siyum and eat meat if you have a minyan. Absolutely not true. You don't need a minyan. The simcha is for you. And Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky writes this before, number 33, Misha Sayim Masechta Yochel Lasid Asim B'Yechidi even if there is no people joining you. He writes, obviously you're not going to say the Hadron, but the Hadron is not what makes it a Siyam. The Siyam is the conclusion of the Limud. So, it's important to note that you have some options to what you can make your Siyam on. Let's try one last option. Let's say I finish a Sefer of Tanakh. Let's say I finish something in the Navi. Would that be enough? Or in Tanakh? Let's say I was learning Sefer Shmois well. Now we just finished Sefer Shmois, so I have to say Vayikra. Can I make a Siyam on Sefer Shmois? Let's say someone who's Marv Sedgwick thoroughly. He goes through every Chumash with every Rashi, he learns it well. Is that enough to make a Siyam? Let's say someone learns Sifri Nevi'im, Miguel Sester. You learn Miguel Sester, be in Rav. You learn Kehelas, be in Rav. Shia Shirin, be in Rav. Are those enough to Pater? So there's a Tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was asked this question. Number, page 3. Oh, we switched to page 3. Page 3, Igros Moshe, top right corner. B'dovar, em yesh lahachshiv sudas mitzvah lifter ha-mechoyrim ha-es tainus erev Pesach lachabas mershchoydesh, gam kishem esayimim b'chabura, shaloim de mikra b'iyun, v'harav doirish lefneim b'drash l'chazal ha-psukim. Right? Let's say you learned it well, you learned it thoroughly. You went to a shir, you learned it in a group. Again, I don't think that's dafka. I think if you learned it b'yechidus well, it's the same thing. Let's say you learned Chumash B'yin. Every parasha you learned well with Rashi. I think Rashi is good enough. You learned Rashi, Ramban, Kliyoka, Rechaim. You went through the Chumash well. Can I make a siyam on Sefer Shemais? I think it's very negayah this year for those people that learn Chumash B'yin. So Rav Moshe says, I'll bring you the greatest rai in the world. Says Rav Moshe, what's the holiday called when we finish the Torah? Simchas Torah. What did we finish? Shas? No. We finished Torah. So, Dr. Moshe, what do you see? That when you commemorate the conclusion of Torah, that's also a reason to make a siyam. So, Moshe starts off with that. Then he has another right. Then Moshe says, I have another right. Because there's a famous Rashbam in Baba Basra. The Rashbam says in Baba Basra, what's the lumdus? Why is there a Yom Tov called Tu B'Av? What happened on Tu B'Av? So, we know on Tu B'Av there was great simcha because they finished the mitzvah. So, says the Vilna Gaon, whenever you finish something you spent time on, that's a reason for celebration. So says Rav Moshe, it shouldn't matter what you're doing. Limud HaTorah is Tanakh also. So Dr. Moshe, if you spend time and you gave time and effort to learning one of the Sifrei Tanakh, Dr. Moshe, you can make a scene. But he concludes at the end of the tshuva, but it should be that you learned it well. You got to learn it with one of the commentaries, it should be learned well. Most people are not Samech on this Rav Moshe, but I would argue maybe B'Shas HaTchak, this year, if a person needs a Siyam, and his Zoom is not an option, or he can't find a Zoom, or he doesn't have internet, or he doesn't want to be Samech on Zoom, so either he should learn a Masechta Mishnayis, or maybe he can be Samech on Rav Moshe, and if he can learn Miguel Sester quickly, but again, it has to be learned well. It's not flyby, it's not just to read the words. If a guy knows that he learned Miguel Sester well, or he'll learn Shir Ashirim or Kehelas well, perhaps he can be Samech on the Psak of Rav Moshe. Okay, that's something to keep in mind for those that need a times. Let's talk about other inyonim on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach this year, we know there's a mitzvah to burn the chametz. We spoke about this at length on other shurim, that mi'ikra din, the mitzvah, you don't really have to burn the chametz, you really just have to get rid of it. And that's why Rav Shechter writes in his psakim, as does other rabbonim, that this year we should not have any burning of chametz. Rav Chaim Kanevsky wrote that for Bnei Brak. This year we should either, he writes in Eretz Yisrael to be mana shlich. Here in America, Rav Shechter is of the opinion that we should just dispose of it in the garbage, flush it down the toilet. There should be no public burnings, nor should there be any private burnings. I don't exactly understand Rav Shechter's cheshba b'chil Hashem. I'm not really sure what he's referring to. If I have a very private backyard and I make a little fire, I'm not sure why that would be chil Hashem. If I wanted to make a barbecue, no one would think twice. Tzarechin, I'm not really sure what Rav Shechter means by that, but that's his psak, and that's the psak that other shuls have sent around. I just want everyone to understand. Me'ikar adin, we paskin that you can get rid of your chametz anyway. There's a chumrah based on machloikis tanoim.
I think that's based on, because too many times the fire department ends up coming around on Erev Pesach, and that's the chol Hashem that he's referring
to. Okay, could be. Again, by here, by us in Queens, that's not so much the case. It's that public burnings are not as common as they are in the Five Towns. I understand the Five Towns, it's very popular. I understand in other communities, like in Brooklyn and other communities, I think most people burn chametz in the backyard. That's the way I always did it as a kid. So I know that some rabbanim in Queens have sent that emails, like following Rav Schechter's psak, that we shouldn't be having burnings even in our own backyard. Again, it's not a halachic question. It's just a question of, I'm not sure if I exactly understand the metzias, that there's a chil Hashem element over here. Again, maker din, you don't have to burn it. You can really throw it into the ocean. Now again, that might be a polluting issue that you might get into trouble for, but technically you could throw it into a public garbage for the same price. You get rid of it, you throw it, you break it up, you flush it down the toilet, check with your plumber first, right, Ronnie? It's not good to flush things down the toilet. You're going to clog up your plumbing, and the last thing you want to have is clogged plumbing before a 3-day Yom Tov like Pesach. So, dispose of the chametz as best as you can, get rid of it, have it out of your house. Now, an interesting halacha for Erev Pesach that I do want to discuss is in the Sefer Isha Yisrael. It's a beautiful Sefer on Tefillah. He writes the following. Toiv l'spal b'Erev Pesach mincha g'doyla. There's a minhag on Erev Pesach to daven mincha g'doyla. What's mincha g'doyla? So just a quick recap of Zmanim. Whenever I have a chance to talk about Zmanim, I like to discuss it. So we know that the Karban Tamid, which is the mincha tefillah, is in the place of the Karban Tamid. So the Karban Tamid was brought really at mincha k'tana, at 9.5 hours into the day. That's what we call mincha k'tana. So what's mincha g'doyla? So mincha g'doyla was, they used to bring the Karban Pesach, and at Pesach, they used to push everything up. They'd start everything earlier. So, normally when we daven mincha, so there's machloikis rishonim, should we daven mincha at mincha g'doyla, or should we daven mincha at mincha k'tana? Many rishonim, like the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, said that we should always daven mincha k'tana. This is actually very negay this time of the year, because now we actually have a choice when we want to daven mincha. We're home anyways. So many rishonim were of the opinion that mincha k'tana is the preferred time to daven. So why is that many people daven mincha g'doyla? So the answer was because when the yeshiva's movement started to become popular, davening mincha k'tana can affect seder. If you have a second Seder and you stop to daven mincha, it throws the whole day off. So that's why mincha g'doyla became very popular. So he writes that on Erev Pesach you should daven mincha g'doyla. Why? He says, Afapi, we're at number 35. Even though there are those that have the opinion that on a regular day you should dafka daven mincha k'tana, because that's when they used to bring the Tamid. But since they used to push everything up on Erev Pesach, so normally this is not negeya, because normally you go to shul, so you follow whatever the shul's manim are. But because you're home and you make your own schedule, so maybe there is an inyan. They quote this in the Luach Eretz Yisrael from Reb Chaim Berlin, from the son of the Netziv, that he was of the opinion to do this. I never heard of anyone else that really does it, but I guess why not? If you're home anyways, maybe you should do it. But the Kaf HaChaim brings down an interesting, he requotes his meaning, but he quotes it slightly different. He writes, Re'isi medaktikim l'spal Erev Pesach mincha koyde masiyas ha-matzis. We know, and we spoke about this in the past, the famous Erev Pesach matzis, that everyone thinks Erev Pesach matzis are a chassidish thing. Erev Pesach matzis was brought down by Rashi, and it's recorded by the Shulchan Aruch. It's not chassidish. Erev Pesach matzis means that the matzis that you're going to use for the Seder should be baked first Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Why? Because there's a hekish about when you're supposed to eat the matzah to when they ate the Karban Pesach. So Rashi said there's also a hekish to when you bring the Karban to when you bake the matzah. That's where the Shulchan Aruch brings it down. The Shulchan Aruch writes, there's a minug that the matzahs that you eat for Leil Pesach, for the mitzvah, for the Seder, should only be baked Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So why is it a chassidish thing? It should be a Shulchan Aruch thing. Because the Vilna Gaon disagreed. The Vilna Gaon thought that this is not real, and his raya was in the fact that what do you do when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you can't bake matzahs on Shabbos. The teretz is that the baking is not so negeh. But the chassidim, they still stick to the guns, and they still bake Erev Pesach. I don't know if they're doing it this year. I don't know if there's a rules and regulations, so I don't know if it's negeh this year. But in regular years, they go bake matzahs Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So the Kaf HaChaim writes, they used to daven mincha first. Why would you daven mincha first? Because again, the mincha corresponds to the Karban Tamid. The baking of the matzahs corresponds to the bringing of the Karban Pesach. So you want to get it in the right order. So that's why people used to daven mincha early on Erev Pesach. Then he brings down another minhag. He says that people used to daven mincha before they baked the matzahs because they used to get very preoccupied with the baking of the matzahs. It was a whole procedure. They say halal, they wear the big day Shabbos. It's a very moving event. So they were afraid that people would forget to daven mincha afterwards. That's why he writes many people used to daven mincha before earlier in the day. Not for the reason that we mentioned, because to correspond to the Karban. So, if you want to daven mincha early on Erev Pesach, daven mincha early on Erev Pesach. But what I do want to bring home a point is, and this is extremely relevant. If you look at number 37, The Machaber writes the following: Yeshulchan oiroch mi boijem. A person's table should be set ready on Erev Pesach. Why? Kedei lechem miyad kishetechshach. The one night of the year you don't want to waste time is Leil Pesach. Leil Pesach, you want to start the Seder as soon as you can. Va'afim hu beveis hamedrash, even if you're in shul, yokum, get up from learning, b'bnei shemitzvah lemar v'lechel b'shul ha'tenek yishla yishana. We want to get the Seder started as soon as humanly possible. Elo lo yoymer kiddush koydim shetechshach. But you can't start it before techshach. What techshach says the Mishnah Berurah, tzeisek echavim. Fine. So this year, you are the only one that controls when you start your Seder. In a normal year, you're bound by the shul, what time the shul posts Ma'ariv, until you get home from shul. Here, we're all home. So what I urge everyone, in my humble opinion, is the following. When it says, tzeisek echavim, start the Seder, that doesn't mean first start figuring out where the wine is, what wine we're going to drink, where the matzah is, who's sitting where. That means cup in hand, not for starting to sing Kadesh or Chatz Kapras Yachatz. That you can sing before Tzeisek HaChavim. Kadesh, Kiddush. And let those people that are admitted to give the kids brachas, give the kids the brachas before Tzeisek HaChavim. Start the Seder. Kadesh. Make the Kiddush at Tzeisek HaChavim. When is Tzeisek HaChavim? So, takes us back to our old discussion, how to calculate Tzeisek HaChavim. So this is maybe a deraisa, maybe you want to be more machmir, take 50 minutes of Rav Moshe, whatever, you figure it out. But there's no heter for anyone to start their Seder late this night, because you are in control of your time. Normally you're stuck with the shul, and then the shul says halal, and you stick around, and you say good yontif to the rabbi, and you talk to your friends. Tonight, there's no excuse. We should all start our Seder at the same time. Again, if you hold 72, fine, you hold 72. But if you don't hold 72, we should start the Seder big diyuk. Start the Seder as soon as possible. Now, the big shaila that comes up this year is, what about the recitation of Halal? The Shulchan Aruch writes in number 39 that Bilel Rishon Shal Pesach Goymin Halal B'tzibur. On the first night of Pesach, we complete the Halal B'tzibur. We say Halal as a group. B'ni'ima B'bracha T'chil B'Sayf, with the bracha beginning and after. V'chim Bilel Sheni Shal Shnei Yom Tovim Shal Galis, and second night Yantif, if you're in Chutz Laretz. This is what's known as the Halal that's recited in Shul after Ma'ariv. V'chol Zeh Ein Anu Goyim Kein. Says the Ramah, we don't do that. We Ashkenazim, we don't say that. So today it's basically Svardim, Nosach Svard, and the Chassidim who say Halal Bebeis HaKnesses. Fine. So we mentioned in the past the famous Shaila that Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses. What happens if I daven, I get stuck in a Nosach Svard Shul for the first night of Pesach, and I don't say Halal, but they do say Halal? Should I say? Shouldn't I stay? Should I leave? Shouldn't I leave? So Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that you should not leave. Sadly, that's not the case this year. But the case is this year. Let's say I have a minhag to say halal. Should I say halal in my house? Should I say halal in my house before I start the Seder to be mekayin this din of the mechaber of halal, beleil, Pesach prior to the Seder? So if you look over here, now again, there's much more here that we should be discussing. I think we discussed it one year at length, the lumdus behind this halal. I think we did. But we'll just very quickly go through some of the Maror Mekoymus. The Kaf HaChaim and the Birkei Yosef are both of the opinion that this halal can be recited b'yechidus. It's not a din b'tzibur. So according to the Kaf HaChaim, according to the Birkei Yosef, the Chida, you should say halal at home. He writes before us, he writes in number 40, the Kaf HaChaim writes, the Kasu Sha'afim hu b'ir she'in ayim b'moyser. Let's say you're in a city where no one says it. Yochel ayim v'levach b'yachet, say b'yechidus. No problem. He says, Mishu Beis HaKnesses Shem Noigim Shalom Mahal Ba'arvis La Pesach Yochel Loim Mahal Varech Alav Beinu Lebein Atzma. You say it yourself. So the Kaf HaChaim is of the opinion that Halal doesn't need to be done B'tzibur. You say it by yourself. The many Achrenim disagree. If you look at number 41, the Nitag Avriel quotes from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was Medayik, as points out Rav Shechter as well, that this is a din B'tzibur. This recitation of Halal Stamazeh is very strange. Where does this Halal fit in over here? On top of that, it makes a bracha. We know in order to get a bracha, it's got to be a chiv. Because if it would only be a minug, we know you don't make a bracha on a minug. So everyone's scrambling to figure out what exactly is this halal. So says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, number 41, quoted by the Nitag Avriel, he writes, the kibun da asi b'shulchan aruch, da oim b'moise b'tzibur, mashma she'in la oimra b'yechidus elo b'tzibur dafka. It's a din b'tzibur. Because the Vilna Goyin compares, and this we spoke about in other shiurim, the Vilna Goyin compares halal beis haknesses la pesach to the menorah lighting in shul. That's the comparison the Vilna Goyim makes. They're both called Pesume Nisa. And we know there's only Pesumei Nisa L'Rabim. You don't light the Menorah Beis HaKnesses if there's no Tzibur. So therefore says Reb Moshe Soloveitchik that you only say it B'Tzibur. And that is the same Psak as Rav Shechter. If you look at number 42 in the Piskei from Rav Shechter, he says the same Cheshbon. And if he elaborates more about this in Nefesh HaRav. In Nefesh HaRav and Chanukah, he discusses this at length. That things that are Pesumei Nisa need to be done B'Tzibur. And therefore he passes that you should not say Halal in your house. And he adds, if you look at number 42, he writes, let's say you have a massive Seder and you can have a minion. In Kulam Yasus a Seder Biachad, the Ain Shmo Bishas Atfilo, they're not all together for davening. Yoiser Anoshim Yashe Bishas a Seder, Gamkin and Indian Lomers Halo Palmaim, Shein Kantoises Pursum Persuminisa. Okay? So according to Rav Shechter, you will not recite the Halo. That is also the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky, but again, not the opinion of the Nitta Gavriel himself. The Nitta Gavriel paskins, you would say halal b'yechidus. So, tough shiloh. Should you say, again, if you normally say halal, should you say halal this year? It seems to be a machloikis g'dayle achreinim between the more litvishers versus some of the more chsidisha, sfardisha, paiskim. Just to wrap up over here, Rav Shechter also discusses about tal this year. How's tal going to work? So he writes the number 45 on the left side. He says, "Hamispalo musaf." When you daven musaf, yoimer moir atal. You should say moir atal. Ki atayis b'tainis hevi yomir shalmi should be moisek shomim imshachach loy mamash v'roch amir ageshim elu shomim moir atal. Because if you forgot to say mashav urach and b'diavad you said moir atal, this is the Shulchan Aruch. The Rif quotes Yerushalmi like this. B'diavad ain't zarech lachzer. So if you still really supposed to say, the question is when do you switch over? Do you switch over by Musaf or do you switch over by Mincha? So therefore says Rav Shechter, so if you're going to say Moed Atol by Musaf, you're covered either way. Because if I'm supposed to switch over, then I said Moed Atol. If I'm not supposed to switch over, so Moed Atol works B'dievet for Mashav Aruch. So he says, you're Yoytzi either way. And therefore he said that would be a good option. So therefore Yishamish Kachlot Tzatzi B'Netrech L'Shanat L'Nizr Shel Tarei Kel. Then he writes, near Poshut. He talks about the psukim, hatal. Now, betal, all those things, he says, well, those things were all nesakim betzibur. You could say them, but they were really mesakim, ikra din, to be recited betzibur, no chiyuv to say them be yechidus. So these are some of the halachas I think are often overlooked because of our situation this year that we should keep in mind going into the Yom Tov of Pesach. And Mirz Hashem, tomorrow night at this time we will have a Zoom shir discussing the Seder, a Hashkafa, about the Haggadah and Leil Pesach. We'll be discussing that. And Mirz Hashem, Sunday morning our shir will be discussing the lumdus behind Charoises. I know it sounds almost like contradictory, the lumdus behind Charoises. I didn't think there was too much lumdus to Charoises. But Baruch Hashem, there's lumdus to Charoises. And if Hashem allows me, I would like to have one more shir before we start the Yom Tov of Pesach, either Tuesday night, because Chametz night's a little tough, or maybe Monday night. I want to discuss shiurim for those that are not feeling well. Nebuch, there are many people that are suffering from corona and are not hospitalized, and are not, Baruch Hashem, on respirators or on machines, but are feeling very, very schwach. And it's worth mentioning some of the limited or lenient shiurim that they should be aware of. So we'll have a special share sometime next week discussing that topic. I don't know which, not yet. And believe that we will finish up part two of canceled contracts due to corona that might be over Chol HaMoed, because as far as I know, no one has anywhere to go, so we'll all be spending Chol HaMoed together, so no reason why we shouldn't learn some Torah. So Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, we will be discussing the Haggadah and Leil Pesach from a Hashkafic standpoint. Looking forward to seeing everyone there. Stay safe, stay well, have a wonderful evening, and be well.
Mishkaya, thank you very much.
Take care, everyone.
You have to leave the meeting.
Unless you want to leave the meeting for me?